Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Matthew. We're at the end of chapter 9 and going to be in chapter 10 today. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 35. This is God's word. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. "Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. First of all, Jesus is out doing ministry. He's proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and he's delivering people from the forces of darkness and healing them of their various diseases. But when he looks at the multitudes of people, how many people there are, Jesus sees that they are in great need. They are harassed and they're helpless. They're like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. I had never had any up-close contact with sheep until we moved to Ware's Valley Ranch. And someone locally suggested it would be good for the boys in the first home, which was Christopher House, to raise some market lambs as a 4-H project. I thought, well, that sounds great. We're living in the country. I've got two boys. We've got some other kids here in the house. I think this would be great. So we got the sheep. We put them in a little pen that we built for them. And the guys were responsible to take care of them. They were lambs when they started out. They were little lambs. They were so cute. They were given names like Puff, Snow White. And there were all these, they were just so cute. They were so adorable. After they'd grown up, they had different names. It's like Lamb Chop, Lunch, etc. Because what became clear about these sheep is sheep are not bright. Okay? Sheep are dumb. I mean, they're really dumb. They are prey animals. You never see sheep bullying other creatures. Okay? They are very vulnerable. They have vision that is very limited. And they can't do a lot for themselves. And so they stick together, and I wish I had time to talk more about what sheep are like, but I'll just tell you this. Sheep have to have somebody to take care of them. Jesus saw the multitudes of people as being like sheep without a shepherd. They were in tremendous need. And so Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers." Okay, well, that sounds like a good prayer. Yes, Lord, please, if you would, send forth laborers into the harvest. What's the next thing that happened? He sent them. That's how I ended up doing what I'm doing now. I was a teenager and I saw that there were young people who needed a place to call home. And it broke my heart to see so many young people in need. And I prayed and I said, God, you've got to do something. And God's answer was, I will, but I want to use you. Now, thank God I'm not the only person he's using. But before I could get into what God wanted me to do, God had to tenderize my heart toward the need. So when I saw the need and I prayed to God to do something about it, God said, okay, now, here's what I want you to do. When you see a need and you pray for God to do something to meet that need, you may be a significant part of the answer to the prayer. That may be why God caused you to see that need. Jesus told his disciples, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth workers. We presume that they prayed, but the next thing that's recorded is that Jesus sent them.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere, and everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now, Jesus sends his followers, but he puts them in a very vulnerable position. These are not guys who didn't have a staff. These were guys who were told, you can't take your staff with you. These were not guys who didn't have any money, but Jesus told them, you can't take any money with you. So they are sent out by Jesus, having to lay aside their own resources. So that takes a lot of faith. Well, not as much faith as when he tells them, and I want you to raise people from the dead. And that's what he told them. He sends them out to cast out demons, to heal the sick, and to raise the dead. Wow! And amazing things happen. You read in the other Gospels, you get the account of when they come back, and they're just like, whoa! Look at what happened. Jesus says, well, that's great. But what you really ought to be excited about is that your sins are forgiven. Do we even realize what a miracle God has done in our lives? I was dead in trespasses and sins. And God made me alive in Christ Jesus. I was guilty of sin. And God forgave my sins and made me clean in his sight. A holy God whose eyes are too pure to look upon sin cleansed me of all my sin and made me holy in his sight. That, folks, is a miracle. That's a miracle. And if you're not amazed that God would love you and save you, maybe you're not saved. Maybe you don't realize how messed up you were or are and how much you needed rescuing. So, Jesus sends them out. And he says, on this trip, you're only to go to the lost sheep of Israel. Now later on, he's going to send them to the Samaritans and to the Gentiles, but not right now. He says, we're going to start right here with the lost sheep of Israel. And as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Why was the kingdom of heaven near? Because the king had come. Jesus is the king. And so folks were being told, this is what generations have waited for. This is what so many folks have longed for, the hope of Israel. Jesus says, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. And then here's what you're to do. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. The body of Christ is supposed to be giving, not selling. We're supposed to be sharing with others as God has freely given to us. But notice that Jesus said, the worker is worthy of his pay. Well, how do I balance those two? Because they didn't charge, but they were in a position of dependence. And so they came into these various towns and villages, found, hopefully, a worthy household. When they enter the household, they pronounced a blessing. And I love Jesus says, if they are worthy, the blessing will rest on them. If not, it'll come back to you. But Jesus sends them out and he says, the worker is worthy of his keep. But in other words, you're going to be dependent on the hospitality of others. Now, is this always the way it worked for all time? They could never take anything? No. This was on this mission's journey. The critical thing is obedience. You do what God tells you. So, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town, and I tell you the truth, it'll be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. The warning here is that those who reject the Messiah are going to be worse off than those who never knew. The folks in Sodom are going to be judged. But their judgment will not be as great as those who encountered Jesus and said, no. Now, what does that have to do with you? Well, some of you sit here and you hear the gospel 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 and you say, no, 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 no. You're going to be in a lot worse trouble than somebody who never heard the gospel. So this that we're engaged in is very serious, high stakes business. Because if you hear and reject, you are worse off. And then Jesus says, be as shrewd as a snake and as innocent as a dove. You're harmless. You're not out sneaking up to try and get an advantage for yourself. You're looking for a way to help other people. And in the process, be on your guard against men. Be on your guard against men. Don't just be naive, stupid, thinking that whatever anybody says they must mean, must be true. The majority of promises that people make to ministries, I will do this for you, I'm going to do that for you, never happen. Some people clearly never intended to do what they said. Other people intend to do it and just never get around to it. But most of the promises that people make to ministries don't happen. Jesus said, it's not just they won't come through for you, they will persecute you. They're going to haul you into court. And Jesus here describes stuff that isn't just for this immediate trip, This is going to be throughout the history of the church. Jesus says, they're going to hand you over to local councils, flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you'll be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, not if they arrest you, when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. Because at that time, you'll be given what to say, for it'll not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. What a blessed promise. God himself will speak through you if you're walking in obedience to the Lord, doing what he told you to do. But he says, families are going to be torn apart. And he says, don't think that I came to bring peace. The result of you coming to love Jesus is that some people that you care about will reject you. Jesus promised that. They'll hate you, not because you hate them. You're trying to love on them. You're trying to share the gospel with them. You're trying to tell them where there's hope. And they will accuse you of all kinds of stuff. Well, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter how they treat us. What matters is if they come to trust Jesus. So don't be naive. Be on your guard. But don't be afraid. And realize that when families get torn up because people decide that I just can't be around you. You make me uncomfortable. That's what Jesus said would happen. He said, if you follow me, they're going to treat you the way they treat me. They killed Jesus. And Jesus says, you need to be ready to die. In fact, the one who tries to save his life will lose it. But whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. So should I be really nervous? No. Jesus says, don't be afraid of those who kill the body. Don't be afraid of them. But do fear God. If God is pleased with what I'm doing, that's all that matters. Doesn't matter what everybody else says. If everybody else says you're an idiot and God says, good job, it was a good job. Jesus says in verse 37, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who doesn't take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And then Jesus says, the one who receives you receives me. Jesus takes the way we are treated personally. Do you remember when Saul of Tarsus was persecuting Christians? And Jesus met him there on the road to Damascus and said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. The way that people treat Christians is the way they treat Jesus. Jesus takes it personally. The one who receives you, Jesus says, receives me. And the one who receives me receives the one who sent me. Who is it that sent him? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. When a person receives you as you are serving the Lord, they are receiving the Lord. And as they receive the Lord Jesus, they are receiving God's grace. So you and I are sent to fearlessly share his love in a world that is often hostile. Don't be surprised by the hostility, but don't be afraid either. We're sent to fearlessly share his love. Just know that it's going to be tough, and know that it's going to be fine.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.